The first reading is from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. A reading from Acts. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza." This was a wilderness road. So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home, seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The word of the Lord. Psalm 22, verses 25 to 31. From you comes my praise in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Let those who seek the Lord give praise. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations shall bow down before God. For dominion belongs to the Lord, who rules over the nations. Indeed, all who sleep in the earth shall bow down in worship. All who go down to the dust, though they be dead, shall kneel before the Lord. Their descendants shall serve the Lord, whom they shall proclaim to generations to come. They shall proclaim God's deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying to them, 'The Lord has acted.'" The second reading is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 21. A reading from 1 John. "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way: God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the Lord. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and that they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. The word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading this morning is from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. The Holy Gospel, according to John. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." The Gospel of the Lord. I am sure that many of you are aware of my love for gardening and nature, as I seem to mention it quite often. I inherited my love for the land from both my mom and my dad. I love getting my hands dirty. I love taking vegetable scraps and turn them into rich compost that feeds the earth. I love to plant seeds and watch them grow, then harvest and prepare or preserve the bounty. And the garden is where I find both peace and joy in a weary and broken world. However, there are a couple things that I do not so much enjoy about gardening. Well, it's not that I don't enjoy them. It's that I find them difficult to carry out. Let me explain. If you read the seed packets when planting any small seeds, such as beets or carrots, you will know that you plant the seeds and then thin them when the seedlings grow a couple of inches high. This promotes healthy and vibrant growth for the remaining plants. But I really dislike having to pull out healthy plants to make room for the others. So, even though it may be to the detriment of the other plants around it, I keep all of them. And I usually end up with some squished beets and carrots until I begin to use them in the early summer, allowing the others to grow. Another reality of gardening that I find difficult pertains to our gospel reading today in the pruning of the fruit trees. In order to bear healthy and plentiful fruit, the branches of a fruit tree, need to be trimmed. Dead and diseased branches need to be removed. the suckers that grow from the base of the trunk above ground level, and the branches that grow out at crooked or odd angles need to be trimmed away to allow for proper air circulation. Again, I am not great at trimming or pruning out the branches. Did I take too much? Did I take too little? Did I take new growth? Did I take old growth? The pruning and thinning of the plants around us are difficult, but necessary for healthy growth. And I wondered, as I wrote this sermon, is that true for people as well? In order for us to grow in love and faith, do we too need to be trimmed or pruned at times? And is that hard for us to acknowledge and understand? Our gospel reading today speaks to a garden theme in sharing the imagery of a vine bearing fruit from its branches. In our reading from John, Jesus is the vine. God is the vine grower, and the disciples and us are the branches. Each of these images cannot survive without the other. All are in relationship with one another. The vine needs the vine grower to provide and nurture the plant. The vine grower needs the vine to produce. And the branches grow from the vine, producing and providing sustenance for all. Our reading today speaks to the relationship in much the same way the gospel reading last week spoke of the relationship between the shepherd who cares for and provides for his sheep. And we are also reminded of our relationship with God, the vine grower, in our baptism, where we were named and claimed as branches belonging to the vine, the true vine of Jesus Christ. Relationships are not always easy. And to be honest, if we are in relationship, at some point there will be conflict and disagreement. We are now in the 15th month of the COVID pandemic. People are tired. People are frustrated, and people are afraid. For the past 15 months, we have had feelings like we are losing control. We are never sure what the next week or even the next day will bring. Hospital ICUs in our major cities are overflowing. Patients are being transported to hospitals that are hours away from their loved ones. And every day, we hear of more and more deaths. The first two waves of the pandemic exposed the cracks in our long-term care homes, where we saw thousands of deaths within our elderly population. This third wave has exposed the cracks in how we treat our essential and factory workers, who live in multi-generational homes within our largest cities. Many of these essential jobs are low-income jobs, filled by people of color who have no choice but to go to work every day. Many of those who are now dying are in their 50s, 60s, and 70s. Lives that were cut short because they had families to provide for and bills to pay, and no sick days to recover safely at home. So many lives changed by so much loss and death. Children burying parents, and parents burying children. Now you may wonder where I am going with all this. What does this have to do with our relationship with God, the vine grower, and Jesus, the vine? If you have watched the news or been on social media, you will have no doubt seen or heard about the freedom rallies taking place in cities and communities around us. There was one in Stratford just last week. These gatherings speak out against the lockdown, citing the loss of personal freedoms like travel and haircuts, and going to church and gathering with family and friends. I've heard it said by some who have attended these rallies and on the news and such. Yeah, lives will be lost, but don't we all die at some point? Over the past few weeks, Wilmot Township has been embroiled with talk of a White Lives Matter protest taking place in May in an undisclosed location within Wilmot Township. The protest is a racist response to the Black Lives Matter movement. The White Lives Matter movement describes itself as dedicated to the promotion of the white race and taking positive action as a united voice against issues facing our race. The Black Lives Matter statement does not imply that other lives are less important than ours or that they do not matter. They simply want us to understand that Black Lives Matter as well. This protest and the ongoing unsettledness of the Prime Minister's path in Baden is causing deep division, conflict, and hurt within our communities. As Christians, as disciples, we are called to acknowledge all of these things. And we are called to understand that sometimes it requires our branches to be trimmed so that we have the opportunity to grow in understanding of one another. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we are also called to bear fruit from our branches, to which God will be glorified. Branches get their strength by being connected to the vine, by being in relationship with Jesus Christ through the love of God. When we are trimmed and when we are bearing our fruit, we are seeking repentance and forgiveness for our sins. We are denouncing white supremacy and white fragility. We are loving one another by speaking out and standing up for the marginalized, the oppressed, and the poor. We understand that we are all tired and we are all afraid. We all are feeling a loss of control in all that is going on around us. We are all hurting. But we must also understand that that does not give us the right to hurt one another with words of hate and bullying, or by claiming indifference to the lives that have been lost to this pandemic. It does not give us the right to say that white lives matter or even all lives matter without understanding that many of our brothers and sisters still fight every day to matter in society. It is time for us to discern our past and acknowledge our mistakes. It is time for us to work towards meaningful change where we can all thrive safely. It is time for us to love as we have been loved. It is simply time for us to love. When we open our hearts and minds to all that is going on around us, when we see the injustice, when we use our voices to speak out against hate, we are the branches that are being trimmed or pruned. We are the seedlings that are thinned. And even though it is difficult to feel that pruning or trimming, it empowers us to grow in faith and love. And it allows our branches to bear even more fruit in a broken and weary world, in such need of compassion and love. So, let us get outside and get into our gardens and green spaces. Let us trim and prune our branches. Let us thin out those seedlings. And in doing so, may we acknowledge our relationship with the vine and the vine grower, the true God whose love casts out our fear, whose love is never-ending, that calls us into action through the word and love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our hymn of the day is from the ELW 447, O Blessed Spring. It may not be well known to many of you, but I urge you to listen to the words.